everyone, welcome to another episode of the Let's Do It Afraid podcast. Yvette and I are really excited. We have a super cool guest today. She is a social media influencer with more than 13,000 followers and growing. She has this iconic wild boot collection that I know Yvette and I are super excited to talk to her about. She's also a mom of two beautiful kids and a wife. So everyone, please welcome Nona.
Hello, everybody. Oh my God, I'm nervous. It's been a while.
No, don't be nervous. We're friends.
Yes, definitely. We're all friends.
I just want to say how amazing Yvette and I were talking about this over the weekend, how you kind of gave us like this really cute shout out on your social media page on Instagram, and we got like 12 followers or something in like 2 days. And to me, it just shows how much your followers really love you and how you've probably built this really amazing connection with them where they like really trust you, you know, because they're like, oh, if she's saying that these girls are cool, like they're probably cool, you know. So it just shows that you really have an amazing fan base. So we're just really thankful to you and we're
I'm
so
like,
happy
no
that
need
you're
to
here.
thank me, you know, like I when I do things like that, it's just 'cause it just grows, and it's like it's something that I feel like I want to do. Like it's never just it's hard, but I was like, and it might be one follower, two followers, but one thing that I've learned over the time, even if it's just 12, some people might be like, okay, what? But for us, like it's a big deal. Like, and then you know, once those 12 people like get involved and hear that, it's gonna spread out to another 12 people, and it's just like a big old It's a big old spider web, and it just keeps growing and growing. So it makes me happy to know that I can still count on my little following to like also support others, because like I said, if it's just one person out there, it still makes a big difference. And that's what I've learned over time. So
Yes,
I'm
thank you.
appreciate
Thank you.
it. Thank you so much, Donna. Of course. And it's weird, like, you know, like the influencer thing. Like I'm like, I've never liked that title, but it's small things like this, like, yeah, like I technically did influence somebody out there that follows me to go and follow somebody. It's kind of like just something that I have a hard time with, like the title, but sometimes like these little things, and like even when people send me messages, like I appreciate this and that, like it really makes me happy because I know it would mean the world to me. So I can just imagine like for other people. So I'm glad.
Yes, thank you. And I mean, not that Yvette and I are like, I mean, we don't have this huge following or anything like that. We're not necessarily doing it for followers or to get famous or anything like that. But it's just always interesting and cool for me to be like, wow, like y'all care about little old me, like what I have to say, you know? And of course, like our family and our friends are all rallying behind us and supporting us. But now that we actually have people that are coming in that don't know us personally, I just think it's really cool that they would even care, you know, about what we have to say.
It does make it makes a difference in the world, and it makes you feel, you know, it makes you feel like a certain way. It makes you feel like maybe you are doing, you know, sometimes we have that thing like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this or that? But it makes you realize, okay, maybe we are doing something good, and maybe those out of those 12, like we can really influence them in some kind of way or like help them out. And sometimes that's what we need nowadays, just to talk to somebody we don't know sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So, in your own words, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So yeah, I'm Alondra. We were just saying I like to go by Nona. I'm used to going by Nona. Everybody knows me as Nona. It's weird when people call me Alondra, but yes, I'm Alondra. I am 30 years old. I live here in California in the Bay Area, which sometimes throws people off, but I live really close to San Francisco, Bay Area girl. I have an older brother and a sister. Grew up with them with my parents, and I'm currently married, and I have two kids. I'm a stay-at-home mom right now, so my life is very, very interesting. It's never boring. When I have free time, I go to social media. It's one of my favorite things to do. I like to connect with people. I like to help out people with like their outfits. I've always loved clothes. I've always been the one to overdress and wear like out of like character things, or like everybody's like, whoa, but I've always liked it. It's always made me feel good, especially now as I got older and my body has changed, you know, after having kids. Even once you're taking care of yourself, once you get older, it's still not the same, no matter how much you try to take care of yourself. And nowadays, I feel like I try to also bring body positivity into the mix of all this, aside from my fashion, just because it's hard. It's hard nowadays. And I hope that, you know, like I said, if I make a difference for one person, then it makes me feel like I'm doing something good.
And I do want to say that I love watching your outfits. I love your style so much. I think that you've probably done your homework and you've really studied, or I don't know, maybe you haven't, but it looks like that's how it comes across to me. Like you've really studied your style and really gotten to know and feel and get comfortable in your style. And I'm like, this girl could wear probably sweats and some cool boots and a hat, and she would look phenomenal, you know, and you would rock it and you'd be so confident in it. And not everyone has that. Like I'm 38 and I still don't feel like I know what my style is. So I just love seeing that for you.
I'm like, it definitely takes a while to like get to that. I think I just went through so much at a younger age, especially with like self-consciousness and all that, that eventually I was just like, I need to do what makes me happy. And it was clothes. It was dressing up. I got into the Western side of it all. Like, I loved wearing boots and everything. And though there's a lot of amazing Western influencers and, you know, Western styles out there, like, I definitely try to make it my own. Like, I don't have to wear like Western clothes to make it Western. Like, that's one of my favorite like things, and I kind of like to put myself up for that challenge. And it definitely takes a while. Like, I used to always be known as the skinny one. Like, those they say I'm flaca, flaca, and now everybody's like, huh, what do we call you? Because obviously, like, I'm not as skinny as I used to be. So it was hard when I was trying to transition into getting used to my style, but now getting used to my style with a different body. So it did take some time, and it's hard. I'm like, but I think because I've always been into it, like, I will spend time on Pinterest. Like, I love watching other people's videos that, like, professionals and, like, actually talking about, you know, capsule pieces and all that. And I don't know, like, I feel like in another lifetime I was like somebody's stylist or something. And I'm just glad that, like, I got used to it, and, like, you know, I was able to accept who it was and just be like, this is what I'm gonna wear, and if you don't like it, then turn around, cover your eyes, or, you know, don't wear it. It's that easy.
I love
And
that.
it's never too late. You could always be a stylist
I love that for
today.
you. I love that. I was watching all your stories while you were on vacation, and I was like, this girl is me in another lifetime. I can't. Me and my body are just like, I can't wear this outfit. I can't do this. But I see everything you're wearing, and I'm like, how does she rock? That looks so good on her. And I'm just so bad at myself. I'm just like self-critiquing. I tell Myra this all the time. I'm like, I'm the worst at myself. I'm like, ira, ira, el pelo por acá, ira que lonja, mira acá. And I'm like, so bad. It's so bad.
Worst critic. And believe me, I have hard times sometimes. Sometimes I'm wearing something a little bit too tight, and I'm just like, that lonja needs to go. I'm like, how do I cover it up? But, like, I've always been good at wearing like tight, like, fajas, or like just like tight leggings or tights underneath, just because it makes me feel comfortable. And I'm like, you know what? Like, even if my lonja is gonna show with tights, like with wearing the proper garments underneath, I'm like, who cares? That's my body. And it took a while, because before, like, it was definitely, it would just like hang, and it would just be like, hello, and I'm just like, oh, God. But I'm like, I'm not the only one that has it. I'm like, we all struggle with it, so why not get myself more confident about it, and in return also get somebody comfortable and be like, you know what, F it, if she's doing it, then why can't I do it? Like, what makes a difference?
I do love that you are so confident, and I think it inspires a lot of people to also be like, F it, I'm gonna wear what I wanna wear. And some people will love it, and some people will hate it, but that's okay.
Yeah, like, at the end of the day, it's what makes you happy. And that's what, like, that's the number one rule in life. Like, who cares what others think? Like, if it's making you happy and it's a healthy choice, or like it's something good for you, then why not do it? Like, it sounds crazy, and to some people, like, they might be like, what in the world?
I understand. It's hard. It's something we battle, I think, all of us. I don't know. I always tell Myra it's something that we have to work on, but it's hard.
It
Yeah.
is. It's definitely easier said than done.
That kind of brings us to our first question that we like to ask all of our guests. That is, what is a fear that you are currently struggling with today?
Oh, that's a really big. They kind of, when I was hearing the beginning, I was like, oh man, kind of got some teary eyes there, because, you know, I feel like there's a lot of fear in this world nowadays. Especially doesn't help like what we just all witnessed this weekend and everything going on, and, you know, there's a lot of fears. But I think my biggest fear right now is losing myself to make other people happy. I battled a lot, and I tried a lot to let that go. But I feel like as I start getting older, and my daughters are getting older, and they're starting to like see how I am and everything, and mimic, like, I think I want to like put like a bigger facade that, you know, like, this is how it is, this is life, be more positive. But it's like, no, but also like show them like the genuine, the real side of life. So I think my fear is definitely just to make others comfortable or make it better for them, because like, you care for them, and you don't want them to struggle or have a hard time. So you kind of lose yourself in what you really are, or like in your feelings or your emotions. So I think that's kind of what I'm just like just keep being you, just be as real as you can and be honest and genuine. And, sometimes things are not as nice and just be honest with it. And it's kind of what I try to do with my girl is just be as brutally honest as I know a 5-year-old can take right now and a 1-year-old. I think definitely just making sure that I'm doing things to make me happy and I'm not pretending to be somebody else to make other people comfortable.
That's really cool that you said that because I think Yvette and I have talked about a lot about like the people pleasing, right? I think that's kind of like what you're alluding to, like being a people pleaser and then kind of forgetting about who you are as a person because you're trying to mold yourself into what everyone else wants from you. And my daughter, she's 17, but she calls me out on it all the time and she'll be like, "Mom, stop being a people pleaser." So I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah, and I just feel like mine, like, it's not so much me, like, I want to please everybody, but it's definitely, I feel like it falls under that category. It's just like, I definitely want to make sure everybody is happy and content. I'd rather be the one, like, that's, like, struggling or anything. So, yeah, like, you're trying to mold into their area, into their situation. So they're fine. They're not struggling. They're not having a hard time. But, F us. Like, let's just keep it on our shoulders and have us have fight these demons, like, inside.
Like your
And
needs
sometimes.
aren't being met.
And that's the, and I think even as a mother, like that's just once you're in a mother and you're a wife and all, like I feel like it's so easy to just be like, make life easier for them, have me struggle. And I think that's just maybe a motherly instinct, like as just as a woman, maybe because of all the emotions and feelings we feel. But I'm like, if my husband's fine and my kids are fine, then you know what? I've gone through it once, I'll do it again. But sometimes you do need to be like, okay, let me do what's good for me. Like, let me be selfish for a second.
Yeah, I feel like I get a lot of mom guilt when I do that, or just guilty in general. Like, it doesn't have to be my kids, but even when I go out, I'm like, I should be with my kids. I'm like, no, I need to be doing things for myself too, because then I leave myself on the back burner, and then that all loads up, so it's not good for myself. And you're really good at boundaries. Like, I keep seeing your posts about your wedding and like how you did it however you wanted to do it. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, I hired somebody to help me with event planning and everything, but a lot of the times it's like, oh, tienes que hacerlo así, tienes que invitar a la vecina. And I was like, you were so good at that. And I was just like, it's fine. I don't mind. I love parties. I love a lot of people. Like, I love big gatherings, so I was fine with it. But then I was like, it wasn't as intimate as I would have wanted it to be. But at this point, I'm like, it's okay. It is what it is.
And it was a struggle, like especially for my wedding. Like I think I make it also purposely more vocal because I know there's still people that are really, really like they're booty tickled about it. But it's people that I still don't talk to. They still don't say hi to me. So I'm like, why are you feeling such this way? And then that's what makes me more like, thank goodness I did it the way I did it. And believe me, it was not easy because my husband also has a big family. He comes, we're from the same town, so he's like, well, I want to invite so and so because of this and this and that. And I was like, okay, well, like, we'll just leave it. I was really straightforward with my mom. Like, I'm really good at setting boundaries with my mom and being like, this is what I'm doing. There is a few that I let slide through the cracks because I was just like, I get where she's coming from. Like, okay, like, it's not going to be the end of the world. But when we were starting to plan, my husband was still living in Mexico. So he still had this mentality like, the whole town is my friend. Like, we're all great, one big family. And once he moved out of here, he was here probably for like almost a year, maybe. Other night, yeah, like he was probably here like about a year and a half, almost two, when we finally went back to our wedding. And I told him, I'm like, you see how things really change, like when you're out of the little pueblo, because he realized his friends, not all his friends were really his friends. His family, just because they were blood, doesn't necessarily mean he needed to maintain this relationship with it, because as soon as he got here, a lot of people didn't reach out to him. And I'm like over here airing his stuff, but it's conversations that we've had. I'm like, and I also too, like once he started moving here and I started actually having my day-to-day life with him, like I also lost people and they never reached out to us, never wanted to meet him or anything. So you just kind of put that in, and I told him, like, put it in perspective. Like, I love partying, like I love having a big get together. I've come from a big family. I'm like, but this is a very intimate ceremony. Like, we've gone through a lot and I rather just have fun with who know us and who love us and want to celebrate with us. And even now, he's like, I'm glad we didn't have that big old, like, 500 people, todo el pueblo, like, invitado wedding. He was like, because I would have hated it. I was like, yeah, you couldn't even handle this wedding. You were being a bridezilla. I was like, now imagine, like, a bunch of other people. But it was hard. It was hard. And so this day, I'm just like, I don't regret it. And I love that I can just look around and everybody was there. Like, I didn't have to feel obligated to give somebody extra attention because they're like, everybody knows me. Everybody knows who we are, like, how it is. So it's like, we all partied and we all had a good time, and it was just the celebration that we always wanted. So Like, believe me, like, even then, like, we had family, blood related that we were just like, I haven't heard from you. But that was my rule. Like, if you haven't heard from them in a year, they don't need to be part of our anything, nothing. So that's kind of how we base off of everything now. So, but it's not easy. You have to really have, like, set it. And it took my husband a while, but we got it through. And yeah, I definitely don't regret it. And I tell everybody, it's your wedding, it's your guys' day. So,
Yeah, how long ago did you get married? Were you a little bit older or were you like super young?
We just celebrated 5 years of married.
Oh, okay.
First, those first
Congratulations.
years on
Congratulations.
TV. And our big wedding, our religious wedding, was 3 years ago, last week as well. So, but roughly about 5 years, he's been here. We've been together, had married life. We did have a smaller wedding too when we got married on TV, just because we were fixing up his whole papers and we just had to have all this evidence for to fix his papers and make sure that, we weren't like faking our relationship or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, but for us, what was,
Yvette and I know of all about that process. Yes.
yeah, no, and we're like, you just gotta, I was like, it's not faking it, but we were just like extra. I'm always extra. I'm like, no, we're gonna have a good wedding, like, and honestly, like, in a way, like, I loved our smaller civil wedding just because it was so unexpected. Like, it wasn't, we didn't plan it, like, it was from one day to another. Like, I mean, we planned the little stuff, but we didn't think it was gonna get the way it did. I think we're all just amazed how, like, it came out to you. And then, well, my bigger wedding, of course, there was so much planning that at the end of the day, you're just kind of like, oh, thank God, that's like out of the way, even though you had planned everything. But yeah, so it's been years.
Yeah, the reason I asked is because I think that that understanding probably came with you being a little bit more mature and older. Like if I got married today, like I said, I'm 38. If I got married today, I would, like you said, if I don't talk to you in a year, you're not invited to my wedding. Like it would be something very small, very intimate, and I probably wouldn't spend as much money as I did. I'd probably want to use that money for like the honeymoon or something cooler, like buying a house, something like that. But when I got married, I was 19, so I didn't even know what the heck I was doing. I couldn't even drink at my wedding. So I kind of like let my mom and my aunts and everyone kind of take control of the situation. So my wedding was complete chaos. I mean, we didn't have enough food, we didn't have enough drinks, we didn't have enough cake because there was so many people. I didn't know half of the people at my wedding. So I would definitely do things a lot differently now.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a big thing. Maybe it's like another mini quinceañera. So they're like, invite everybody. Because, like you said, you took your tía and your mom to like plan it. But definitely maturing. And I get older. I'm always just like, I'm glad we did what we did. I was like, but I probably would have still gone smaller. Like, I probably still would have done a little bit of less of this and that. But like you said, like, once you start maturing, you know that it's more like an intimate thing and more just the people you really need than
Yeah.
versus big old ordeal. But believe me, like, I wish I could have had a big old wedding sometimes, because I just love seeing like everybody come together in town. But I'm like, for me, that just wasn't it. People that do have big old weddings, especially in my town and all that, like, I'm glad you guys have like the patience and the courage to do that, because I'm like, I just be like, what the heck are all these people doing? Like, get away from me. So I'm like, I'm glad other people do it, but I definitely enjoy the way that we did it and would definitely do it the same if I had to.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I did not so much, but I'm glad you did.
Hey, sometimes you just need an excuse to party. Just celebrate a random anniversary. Like, let's redo this all over again.
Yeah, I told my husband when we do our 25th anniversary, it's gonna be way different. Like it's gonna be me, you, the priest, and our two kids, and that's it. And then we're going on a big honeymoon, and that's all we're doing.
And that's all you need sometimes. That's all you need. And I love it. It's
Yeah.
stress-free. And you
Yes.
get a vacation.
Yes. So we talked about your really, really cool boot collection. I don't even know like how you have so many boots, but I love seeing them on. It's like every, and your little outfits of the day, and you're showing your outfit, and you're always wearing your cute little boots. So you've also talked about maybe launching a boutique of your own. Is that still something that you are interested in, and how's that going?
So I definitely do want to. I've been saying it for a few years now, and the only reason why I haven't 100% done it is because I don't want, like, just to do something just to do it. I want it to be different. There's a lot of boutiques nowadays, especially like if you're in the Western side, like, they sell the same things, they sell the same products, they come from the same vendor. Their style is very similar. Like, I don't want to just do a boutique, and if I do boutique, like, I wouldn't want just like random items. Like, I would just rather just make like personalized, like, T-shirts. One of the things like I've been really wanting to do is launch like boot socks, because it's something you don't really see around. But in order to wear boots, you need some good pair of
Yeah.
socks. Kind of what I've always been wanting to aim. And then just like hoodies or anything like that. I have one that like my mock that I made, and it's just little things like that. I was like, but I want to put like a lot of thought into it. Like, I don't want it to just to be random items, and and I'm really weird about, I wouldn't want to call it merch, but like when somebody sells stuff like that, they like their names all over it and their faces, and I'm like, I want it to be something that people can wear, and like you don't know really where it came from, or you can just like, it's just like a regular old something, and it's not so obvious that I came from somebody that's trying to like grow and everything. Like, I always think about beanies, like just certain things like that. But I've still been searching to find exactly like where to get it done, how I want them. I have a lot of different like images saved that like I've worked on and everything, but it takes time, especially when you want it to be like something very special. Like, I don't want to do it just to do it, because if I was for that, I would have done it a long time ago, and I probably would be over it by now.
Yeah, and that's a really good point because sometimes you have like an artist or an influencer or somebody that you really like and they come out with this merch, but you don't necessarily like, I don't want to wear, unless it's Selena, because if it's Selena Queen, I will
Right.
wear anything with her face and her logo on it and wear it proudly. But if it's just like anyone else, like, I don't want to have a picture of you on my chest or, like, it's just, it doesn't look. To me, it doesn't always look cute with what I'm wearing. Like you're saying, it'd be really cool to have something you can wear with anything, and it's gonna work out with your outfit. Like you don't have to worry about like it has some random person's face on it, or maybe it has a logo that you don't really like.
And then it's definitely like something that, like, I want it to be, very minimal, like not so obvious, not so in your face. But like we went back, like talking about followers, like I don't have a lot of followers, compared to others. But what I hold really close is that the little ones, the little number that I have, they're very, very, very supportive. And I would want to give them, good quality, good stuff, like hard work into it, because they've helped me so much. Like before, I had my old one and it was like almost 50K followers. And I'm like, I was getting the same interactions, I was getting the same like support versus having a smaller, more intimate page. So when I got my newer page, I was like, it's so much easier. Like, I can interact with so many other people. Like, I don't get overwhelmed. I'm not following just like whoever just to follow, and they're following me and genuinely like going out of the way to like refollow me or look for me again. So I definitely want to give that part in return to like have them like wear something nice, good material, So it's some stuff like that doesn't just happen overnight. So it's still something that I definitely want to work on. And every time I wear my hoodie, I'm just like, I just want to just have stuff for everybody. And but one day, it's not easy starting something like that, especially stay-at-home mom with kids and everything, but it will happen. I'm manifesting it. It will happen.
And Yvette did kind of mention that to me as well, because I had no idea that you used to have this other page with like, 50,000 followers, and then you decided to start a new one and were conscious of the fact that you might have less followers, but you were okay with that. And I think it just really speaks volumes, like I said, once again, to the love that you have for your followers, and you want to have that connection with them, and you don't want it to just be like, like you're not just doing this for money, like you're really doing it because you want to build a connection and you want to build,
Definitely not doing it for the money.
You want to do it because it's something that you're passionate about, and you want people who are going to use their hard-earned money to buy something that they're going to really love.
Because sometimes, like, I mean, we see it, like, other people bring out their merch and all that. You're like, oh, that's kind of cute. But I'm like, those prices aren't cute. So, like, I don't want to spend like that. Like you said, like, to have your face on me or a
Yeah.
big old weird logo or anything. And I mean, no hate to anything like that, but people support everybody, in their own kind of way. And but it, like you said, like, it's just I've come to really love my little community. So I was like, I want something nice for them. Like, I want to do it. And yeah, I always get asked, but definitely still working on it and still in contact with certain people, like, to try to make it happen. But it's gonna take a little bit on my end, just because it's not something that I can do all day every day to get it out there.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we're excited. We can't
Yeah.
wait for when you do it, let us know so we can check
Yes.
it out.
Yes. Believe me, I was like, it will be known everywhere. I
Yeah.
was like, for those that follow me, I was like, I won't let people pass it up. But yeah, so I was like, I hope I can do it, and keep me busy too, because sometimes you need something for yourself, especially as a mom, like you said, and a wife. Keep yourself distracted and give yourself some time.
Yes. So you have been really open about your mental health struggles, which is something that Yvette and I talk a lot about on this podcast, and it's really inspiring to us. How do you cope with anxiety during tough times, and what practices help you get through those moments?
I feel like it's something that I feel like one will never actually truly master. Especially, at least with my anxiety, it's always different, sometimes I don't even expect it. And sometimes it's hard because I usually have a 1-year-old chasing me and, or if my daughter's home from school. But I really try to, like you said, set my boundaries. Like if I know I'm just not having it, I've learned to be very vocal, especially with the people, with my immediate family. They've been the ones that have been in this journey with me the longest and have helped me so much. So it's gotten to the point where I'm just very comfortable with being like, I need you guys to back up. I need you guys to let me be. And if I just run out of the room and go hide somewhere, don't chase me. Like, I just have to be very vocal. And I feel like with what's helped me a lot is just communicating with them. Like, don't ask questions. I will answer it later on. But at that moment, when I'm getting ready to have an anxiety or anything like that attack, my instinct is to run and hide and be alone. I don't want anybody around me because it's just sometimes you're feeding off their energy as well. So they're nervous, they don't know what to expect, and like you're feeling it, or at least the way I am, and I start feeling their energy, and I'm just like, it's not helping. So definitely communicating, just letting them know, like, hey, I feel something coming on, or ahead of time, like when you see that I'm just not okay, sometimes you can't even like explain to people or like let them know. Just tell them, like, if you see that I'm not okay, just let me not be okay. And once I am okay, we can talk about it. We can do whatever you want. And I definitely just try sometimes to just do activities too, to just kind of avoid like it getting bigger. I sand color a lot with my daughter. I do diamond painting a lot, or I read, because it's just like it's gonna take my mind off what's really going on with me mentally, and I'm gonna focus on that one little project. So when I first started off, that was my thing, just coloring. Like I just color and color, and I'd get a kindergarten book or something, because sometimes like the pictures are bigger and it's less detailed, so you can just like kind of get it done quicker. And then when it's more detailed, like you're also like distracted more, and it kind of gives you more anxiety, at least for me. So I'd go to the dollar store and just buy it and just color and color, and that's what helped me a lot. And I think also just communicating. I'm glad that I have a really good support system where I can count on them and communicate with them, and let them know either at that time or beforehand, like, hey, if ever anything ever like this happens, just let me be, let me breathe, and we'll go about it after like it all passes. But it's never easy, and it's always a difficult moment, especially like when I'm having an anxiety attack or anything like that.
I love that you have that self-awareness to know what helps you in those moments, and also to kind of know when it's happening so that you can be like, hey, if I just need to leave, get out of the room, like, don't follow me. I'll be back when I'm ready to come back. Because I don't think a lot of people have that awareness. At least I know I don't. Like, I still haven't really found something that kind of helps with, like, I don't have as bad. I think Yvette has a harder time with anxiety than I do, but sometimes like social anxiety, things like that, and I don't know how to like cope with it yet. So I'm still learning through and talking about to my therapist.
Yeah, no, and like I said, like even once you discover one thing that works for you, eventually you'll get like a different kind of anxiety, or something else is going to give anxiety, and you have to learn how to work with that specific problem. Because like social anxiety, when I walk into a party, a lot of people always like, oh, she didn't say hi today, she's in a mood. And I'm like, no, sometimes when I'm in big crowds, like as like outgoing as I sometimes come off to be, like when I'm in big crowds, like I'm just like anxious. Like I still feel like people, like it's still kind of that like insecurity at the same time. Like I still feel people have to look at me. Like I still feel like, somehow like attention's on me for some reason or something. And it's just my insecurity. So I always just get to parties and sometimes I just like look down and I don't really say hi until like I've sat down, I've like gotten into my environment, and then I slowly start saying hi to everybody. They're like, oh, you're finally saying hi. And I'm just like, you have to adapt to the situation you're in. And that's one thing that a lot of people, they say, this is like, I come out like, grosera or like rude because I don't say hi right away. And sometimes like I'm still not trying to adapt to the environment I'm in, because if I don't, I'm just going to be overwhelmed and I'm not going to have a good time.
Yeah. And I think that's also a reminder to people to be like, not everything's about you, right? Like, I try to tell that to myself if I'm, I don't know, if I'm driving and somebody flips me off or they, cut me off or something. And I try to tell myself, like, Myra, it's not about you. Like, they're probably just having a hard day. So, kind of reminding, people, like, hey, if somebody doesn't say hi to you right away, like, they might be having a hard day and that's fine. It's not about you. Like, don't take it so personal.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I have to remember too, like when I'm walking in somewhere, like no one's looking at you, no one cares, like, but like people, we're still humans, we still have certain insecurities. Like there's still things that like I can come off as confident, but there's still things that you like struggle back and forth. And one day you just wake up and you're not feeling good about yourself, you're not feeling good about anything, and You feel like your life is like horrible, and the next morning you're just like, oh wow, I was just, really cranky. Like, I just slept wrong, but and I've just always tried to be self-aware about that and also be aware with other people, because I know other people, they might not even realize that, why they're feeling it or whatever. And I just try to be very mindful, knowing that we all deal with some kind of mental illness or like problem or, a little glitch sometimes, and it's normal. Like, I feel like it's something that we should all just be more mindful about, and just it's nothing to be ashamed about, but it's hard to cope with everything. And it's taken me many years to get where I am, and even though I feel confident sometimes with my mental disorders, it's still hard and it's still tricky, and you still have to fight for, to be okay.
I agree. I agree. I mean, I've had panic attacks and anxiety for a while now, and every symptom can be different. It throws me down. Health anxiety. Sometimes I feel like if I hide, I probably get worse. I don't know. I'm also scared of being by myself for some reason. So like, that's my worst nightmare. Like, me muero and nobody's gonna know, or like, who's gonna take care of my kids? It's like, I don't know what it is, but like, after my first panic attack, like, everything changed. Like, before I didn't care about what anybody had to say to me, about what I was wearing, about anything. And now it's like everything. I'm self-conscious. I'm reading rooms. I'm like body awareness, spatial awareness, everything and anything. And like, yeah, who cares if we say hi or not? But I don't know if that's like cultural or if that's just society or expectations we put upon ourselves. But when it's like the other way around, I'm like, oh, am I doing something wrong that they didn't say hi to me? But then I'm like, then when it's the other way around, I'm like, oh, I should have said hi to them. Now they're gonna think that I'm not happy today.
No, yeah, definitely. Like, I
Thank
know, so I'm right away, like, if you don't talk to me like the way you usually do, or you're having a bad day but you're not like being your normal self with me, like, that's one thing that I've always had a hard time. I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? What did I say? Did I upset her? Like, did I
Yep.
think that out loud and like they heard me and like now they're mad or like something? And I'm just like, luckily now, like, my small circle that I do have, like, it's not, I don't have to worry. Like, they know how I am and everything, and I know them pretty good too. So, but before with other people, you're just like, she didn't give me a tight hug this time. Like, damn, she's mad at me. Like, I go eat it. Like, I'm like, and then you realize, like, with the other shoe, you're like, why can't people just understand I'm just having a bad day? Like, okay, they're
Yeah.
probably having their own issues too. But your mind is, it's a very powerful thing, and sometimes it's for the bad. Like, you just
Yep.
don't know what to do.
I agree.
Sometimes our mind be lying to us, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing that I feel like has to help. Like, we just got to remember, what are you really feeling? What is really your worry? And what is really making you feel this way? And then once you get to the root, you're like, is it really happening though? When you go to sleep tonight, like, did that actually happen? Like you say, like, they don't say hi to you, but later on they come back, like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Like, I got here, like, I was running late, da da da. And then you guys have like the best time of your life ever. And you're like, look, I wasted an hour, like, worrying about like if I did something, if I'm a horrible person, and then to end up having like a really good date with them or whatever.
Yep.
So we definitely got to figure out like how important is it to stress about this.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's just like sometimes catching your mind, right? Like putting yourself back into perspective. Like, I'm fine. Like, if they're having a bad day, sometimes they have a bad day. I tell Myra this all the time with like driving. I think because there's road rage and things of that nature, I'm good about it. And I'm like, I gotta just chill. Like, but I don't know. Maybe if there wasn't road rage, maybe I wouldn't. But it's something that freaks me out. And I'm like, I don't want them coming after me with my kids in the car, So.
No,
Just like,
and like, I feel like before, like, younger me, I'd be like, I was a honker. Like, no, like, you're not putting your, like, there's a blinker for a reason. Like, that's my biggest pet peeve while driving. There's a blinker for a reason. Use it. And it's a very convenient place. It's right next to where you're holding the steering wheel. Just stretch a little bit and just use it. And I used to like honk and like yell. And I'm like, no, nowadays you don't know what you're gonna run into. So just be like, they just slip their mind. They're
yep.
just, figuring out life. They're having their own day. You forget sometimes too, so I'm just like, now you just gotta just drive, just get to your destination and callate.
Yes.
You did mention that you are a stay-at-home mom with two girls.
Yes.
How do you manage it all? Because you do wear a lot of hats, not just physically, but you know what I mean? You do your social media, you want to start the boutique, and then you have your girls and you're a wife. So how do you manage it all? How does it not become so, overwhelming?
I think saying it's not overwhelming would be a lie, because it is. Even if I feel like I have it together, like, something's gonna slip through the cracks, and I'm gonna be like, damn it, I couldn't do the job of 30 people today. God dang it, but I think, like I said, I think it really helps that my partner is very supportive and very hands-on, like with the girls, the house, with everything. My priority is just to make sure that my kids are fine, they're changed, they're bathed, they're fed, and my husband can come home and at least have something to eat, because other than that, like, we're both doing what we can for each other. But sometimes I don't. Like, if it's too much for me, the first thing I let go is social media. Even though that's like my happy place, and that I think to myself, I'm no one big, I'm not losing anything, that could be on the back burner. And I have left it on the back burner for a long time, especially now at home. Like, I don't have time to get ready every day and like take pictures and style outfits. It was easier when I was working because I had to get ready. So I'm like, okay, kill two birds with one stone. I get to work and I get ready and I do my social media. But nowadays, I'm just like, I want my energy for my kids. I want it for my little family. Like, when my husband comes home and we can like all hang out and play, like, and it's hard because sometimes I get selfish and I get like, why do I have to put what I like on the back burner? Why can't I just be like, no, you guys are gonna feed yourselves today? Like, like it's just those little things, and it's hard. It's hard.
It is.
And I think what when I feel like I succeeded is because maybe like I've plotted out during like the day before, and I've made a schedule to myself, and I give it my time, or even during the week, like, okay, like my goal this year is at least one day of the week, whatever day it is, you're gonna be on social media, you're gonna post. Like, today, perfect, I got ready, to be here with you guys. And now that I'm ready and I can do that, and the girls are, one's at school and one's being, has a babysitter right now, take pictures, upload things, do things on social media that will make me feel like I was good on that aspect. But then I'm over here like, okay, now I'm taking advantage of my babysitter instead of having like my youngest here with me, like she's out there with somebody else. But it's hard. It's hard. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how I can manage it, because sometimes you even ask yourself, like, how did I manage to do all that in one day? Or why didn't I get that all done? And we're like, we just expect so much from each other. And I just feel like if our little people and our little circle are okay, like my family, then if I didn't clean today, I didn't clean. If we cooked ramen today and that's what we ate, well, you know what? That's what we ate. So I just try to just, what's gonna stress me out less? Because once I'm stressed and once my anxiety starts, it's gonna be a bad day for everybody, because then my husband's gonna try to fix me, and he's gonna hate to see me that way. And then the girls, we're gonna kind of be leaving them alone because we're trying to fix it. So I'm like, just do what is gonna make you be able to breathe comfortably during the day. But it's hard. It's hard. I don't think anybody has really mastered how to get it all done in a day. And if they do, like, kudos to you. But I feel like you're probably so tired. And it's like, sometimes, like, is it worth it? Like, doing all that? Like, toda esa chinga, like, is it really? But that's just my, like, mentality. Sometimes I'm like, I gotta think that, sometimes less is more, because you're not so burnt out and you can still have time with your family. So I don't think I've mastered it yet. And I don't know how I do it sometimes.
Like, you're right. I don't think anyone has really mastered it, and I think that the people that kind of make it seem like they probably have a lot of help in the background that we're not seeing. Whether it's like a babysitter or a nanny, or because it is a lot for one person to do. Like, it's impossible for one person to wear all the hats and do everything perfectly. It's not going to happen. So thank you for being honest and transparent about that, because
Like, and aside from it being like physically exhausting, it's definitely mentally exhausting trying to get. I mean, there's been like stuff out there that comes out, like how much a stay-at-home mom would really get paid in the real world if she did all the things that she has to do in one day. That, unfortunately, there are some people that maybe some husbands or some wives, like, no, I need to get all this done all today, and no questions, no ifs, no if, buts, or maybes. Like, I gotta get it done. And it's kind of like they tell you, like, well, if you do this today, you get your, that's how, this is how much you make. And if you do this, now add it up together. And like, so like, if you're already seeing that you're pretty much doing a job of like three or four people, like, you also have to be, gentle with yourself and patient and be like, today I will tackle this part and tomorrow I'll tackle something else. And especially now with me, like, it's hard to keep the house clean. Like, I was like, I try to do the kitchen. I was like, and the rooms, I was like, but the rest of the house, like, it's hard to keep clean. I was like, especially with the girls, like, toys and everything. And you just got to be gracious with yourself. You're like, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Once they're done, we'll just pick it up and re-clean. And like yesterday, I cleaned and then everybody came over. Like, I had dinner for everybody, all my siblings and all my nephews and nieces. And the house is a mess, but I'm like, it's okay. I'm like, I keep looking at it, but I'm like, it's okay. Once I'm done, Renata's still going to be with my aunt. She's still going to be taken care of. I'll get a little bit done. But, you also have to be gentle with yourself.
yeah. You have to be kind to yourself for sure. So, was it scary? Because I know you mentioned that you did have a job, you know, 9 to 5 or whatever, that you had to go to, and then you transitioned into being a stay-at-home mom. Was that transition hard for you? Was it scary? Were there certain fears that maybe you had to kind of overcome? You know, because it can be kind of, I know for me, when I took that leap of working a job, secure job, to, you know, being a stay-at-home mom, but also working full-time with my husband, who's a self-employed, where he's an entrepreneur, really scary to lose that income and health insurance, like all of those things, right? It was really, really scary for me. So did you have any similar experiences to that?
I definitely, and I think I still do to this day, like to sometimes, and I think it just comes to show, like, I think the big picture is the fact that, like, I do live in California. I live in the Bay Area. It's so expensive. Like, it's expensive everywhere, you know, everywhere. But, you know, obviously, you know, we get paid a little bit more to like live in our economy, but that still isn't enough for, you know, what it is here in the Bay Area. And it was scary. I'm like, I felt like we both decided, me as my husband, because my parents were going to Mexico a lot. They live with us, so you know, we didn't have that like extra babysitter, like the girls would stay with them or anything. So when they started transitioning to stay more in Mexico, I'm like, okay, like Emiliana's gonna start school, you know, she's gonna start kindergarten, and then Renata's gonna be born. Like, what are we gonna do? Who's gonna babysit? My parents aren't gonna be here. So we both decided together, like, you know, I'll stay home. It was only gonna be for a year. I'm going up on 2 years now. And it's still scary because you're just like that extra income. Like, thankfully we can do it. The house that we live in was my parents', and you know, it's paid off and everything. So like, it's just minimal bills. So in that way, like, I'm so grateful, but it still doesn't stop you. Like, I feel like I'm not contributing to anything. I feel like I'm not doing my fair share income-wise. But then he, like, and I always tell him, like, I'm just gonna go back to work. He's like, if you wanna go back to work, go ahead. I'm like, but, you know, we gotta pay now for extra babysitters. Now we have to pay for it, because before it was my mom, so then we just like stay here. Like, and then, you know, commute and all that, like, you have to take it all into consideration. So it's hard. And I feel like it's what's scary is, like, you know, it sucks that we don't want to make, you know, the money the center of everything, but sometimes it's realistic. And if I'm having a hard day, it's because I'm beating myself up because I'm not financially able to like help. You know, that's why I said, I was like, I definitely don't do social media for the money. Like, I don't get paid. Like, I get paid very little, and it's never a steady income. Like, it's, you never know when you're going to make money and when you're not. So I think it's still hard, like in that sense. And sometimes too, like, I feel, and when I was working, like, I kind of had my me time in a sense. Like, I'm like, okay, I could breathe from the girls. I don't have to worry about them if they're crying, where they're running off to, what they're putting in their mouth. And sometimes that was hard too, to accept. Like, oh, like, I just miss like going to an 8-hour shift without like mentally, like, you know, like seeing the girls and making sure like they're okay. Like, you
Yeah,
still
you're
like
still
have
good.
a, but. So it's definitely hard. It's definitely hard. And sometimes I'm just like, I'm just gonna go back to work. Like, is it really worth it? But I get to like, you know, enjoy these moments with my girls and pick them up, take them to school, spend the day with them. So you had to figure out, you know, what's really gonna matter at the end of the day. And if we don't really need that extra income, you know, would it be nice? Yes, of course. We all want that, like, you know, that money wiggle room. But sometimes we just gotta realize that just spending more quality time with them is kind of more important at the end of the day. But it's
Yeah,
hard.
it is hard. It's like you said, it's we live in an area that is very expensive. We also live in the, you know, Bay Area. We live in Sonoma County, so it's very expensive to live in California. So that was like really scary for me. But then I'm like, you know, God's gonna provide. Like He's got it. We're gonna be fine. And but I do miss, the only thing that I do miss about working in a job outside of my house is the people. I miss talking to people and interacting with people and having, like you said, that me time, that, you know, even if you're just going to lunch with your coworkers or going to happy hour or whatever after, like, I do miss that aspect of it because I can be lonely being at home.
I definitely do. When I was pregnant with Emiliana, and when I had my wedding, I was with a really amazing company, and I made really good friends, and I still talk to them to this point. But I'm like, sometimes I'm like, as much as that company drove me crazy, I'm like, I miss at the end when we would just like all four of us just get together. And we're like, okay, we're gonna go lunch together, or we're gonna go, you know, like you said, a happy hour. And like, I feel like that bubble, like, you can be so selfish with it because you're not sharing it with other friends, you're not sharing it with like your family, like. It's like, this is my only little, like, those are my little people. Like, I don't know. It's like it's a different bond when you actually make good friends from your job. And I that's definitely what I miss. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, are you sure you guys just don't want me to just come back real quick just so we can have an excuse to hang out? And then sometimes, like, okay, we're gonna plan to go out, and then life happens and we just never like go out. But it's definitely people that I like, I miss. And I, like you said, like, I definitely like that because I feel like it's just yours. Like, you don't share it with your kids, you don't share it with your husband, you don't. And I think that's what I cherish more about those group of girls. Then. And yeah, definitely it's something that, you know, I probably don't think of as much, and I probably don't recognize it. But now that you mention it, it's like, yeah, I definitely do miss that.
No, I miss it too. Like, I love, like you said, the flexibility of taking my kids, picking them up. I love being home with them. I would have them with me home all the time if we could. We've talked about this, you and I. So I love being home and available to my kids. And I love the flexibility of working from home. You know, I make my own schedule, things like that. But it's just that social aspect of it is really hard to let go.
Yeah, and I was like, it's always bittersweet. Like, you like it, like, you're doing this, but you're just like I said, like, for me, it's just like that financial side of it. And even then, like, sometimes if I want to just spend money, like, a lo tonto, like, I just want to, like, do I need that? No, but I'm gonna buy it because I'm making my own money and I can buy it. Like, even sometimes I'm just like, oh, I just need like shopping therapy or something. Like, I don't have the heart to do it because I'm like, that's my husband's hard-earned working money. You know, not that he ever says that's mine, but you know, as one person, you're just like, no, like. I was like, I would just like, what do you need? I'm just gonna buy you stuff, and then like, I'll get my like itch off of that. But it's hard, it's hard. So then you're like, we're never really satisfied. Like, we want to be at home all the time, and I help out at my daughter's oldest school, so I'm like, I get to see there, and she gets so happy when she's like, oh, my mom's here helping. He's like, that's my mom, and all that, and like, I get to be part of that. And sometimes I'm just like, I think I want like to back up and like get something just to like have that like me time or anything. But it's hard, and I still fight with that. Like the other day, like, I was sending resumes again, and then once like I hear back, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, we can't lose like all this right now that we already like we're already kind of getting used to our schedule and how it is. But you know, it's guilt sometimes too. It's guilt. It's always guilt for us.
Yeah. Even though like what you're doing is a very rewarding job and it's a very important job, you know, but I think that because we aren't paid for it, right? We kind of think that it doesn't have as much value or we're not contributing enough. But I mean, you're probably doing the hardest job,
Yeah.
right? It's like you're raising humans. Like, what the heck?
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's probably the more valuable. Like, the more, like, you know, you think back, you're like, I'm glad I was able to spend that time, or I went to that field trip with her, or, you know, when they get sick, that's when I'm just like relieved. I'm like, oh, you know, seeing your kids sick is the worst, but knowing that you don't have to stress about like, you know, calling work and doing all that, you can just do it. Like, because even then you feel guilty, like calling into work, like, my kid's sick, like, you know. So it's always it's like a double-edged sword. Like, you don't know sometimes, and we just got to know that we're doing it okay, everything's fine. Like, if it's not meant to be, something's gonna happen where you're just like, okay, now I have to get onto it, now I have to find a job, now we have to change courses or whatever. Like, there'll be a sign, and you know, we'll adapt to whatever it is if it ever comes. But it's hard.
So you've shared a little bit about anxiety before, and then how did having a second child affect your mental health? Did you experience any postpartum?
Not with my second. I think my second was it was very different. I think I struggled the most with my first, just because aside from being a first time mom and, you know, doing it, I did it alone. My husband was still living in Mexico, so during that time he wasn't here yet. I did have, you know, my daughter here in California. I did have the support of my sister and my mom and everything, and I feel like I like thinking back, I feel like I did hit postpartum with my first. But I was so trying to avoid it because I know how bad my depression can get, and I didn't want to be that now that I had a daughter. Now I'm a mom, so you know, you feel like you can't be depressed or anything like that. With my second, it was nicer because, you know, my husband was there, he was living everything physically, he was there to help me with the nights and all that. But I think my anxiety was just my first, like, you know, the attention, you know, what's gonna happen. You know, you obviously, like, the first year, like, it's very hands-on with the baby, you know. I mean, every year is, but you know, the first year, like, they're not as independent, you know. So I think my anxiety was making my oldest feel left out and not intentionally, you know. And you know, trying to like balance time or give her time, like sometimes I'd be like, okay, let's go to the movies, just us, or something like that, because I'm just like, she is a very, very aware person. She is very intelligent. She's very smart and she's very vocal. And there's times that she's like, you guys don't like me anymore. And I'm like, and for her to say that, it's because she means it. It's not just because she's like saying it, they look up at each other. Like, she's very mental, like aware with the emotions as well and everything. And it would hurt. It would hurt. So it was like, I think the anxiety was just trying to make sure she was okay. Like, hi, we love you. Like, you know, you're still here, but you know, your little sister, she needs a lot more help right now because she can't do much on her own. So the first fear was probably the anxiety of that. Like, I think my second was like she's been in a more like stable like household than when my first was born, because we were just all over the place, like trying to figure out life. It was more chaotic. And when she came, the second came around, and not that, it was just so much more like, okay. For her, it was calm and relaxed, but you know, we were doing a lot for the first, so she didn't feel left out, or you know, I didn't want her to grow up and be like, yeah, I'm the oldest daughter. Can you tell? I'm like, no, like, you know. So I think that was my anxiety. And luckily, I didn't feel like I had any kind of postpartum. I feel like you did definitely probably you lose your identity for a bit and you have to like try to get that back up again. But I'm glad that my postpartum didn't get with either of my pregnancies as bad as I would have imagined, just because I know how rock bottom I can hit and how bad it can get. So. But yeah, I think my anxiety was just trying to, you know, spread your love between both of them.
And I think that a lot of people don't talk about that enough, but I kind of experienced that as well when I had my second child. I think I cried for like the first month for my first child, my daughter, because I felt like I was, you know, like me and her, she was like my little best friend, and we did everything together, and we were so close, and anything, like we would read together, paint together, all these things, and I couldn't do that anymore, or I couldn't do it as often anymore when I had my son. So I think I cried for like the first month because I felt so much guilt over now having to spread myself between two kids and not just one, and thinking like, oh my God, she's gonna be scarred for the rest of her life. Like,
Exactly. We're like,
obviously.
yeah, we're gonna have four kids. And my husband was like, after we had the second one right away, he was like, no, I can't. He's like, I can't spread my time, especially their girls, their daddy girls. So he has that hard part of it. I'm just like the mean mom. Like, I'm just the one that's always like putting them in their place and everything. But they're like, dad is a fun time. He's like, I can't stretch my heart out. And I was like, oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. But this last time in Mexico, that I recently just got back, I'm just like, you know what? I think we're okay with two. Because it was just so hard, especially because Mexico is a big part of us. Like, you know, going for a fiesta is going in, like, it's something we do. And I just saw it from a different perspective this time. And I'm just like, no, like we didn't enjoy as much as we could because, you know, it's hard to accommodate to the two girls and what they need and what they want. And, you know, us having our time, like with when it was Emiliana, like she fell asleep, cool, you go home, me and dad are like gonna continue. And it wasn't. And then I told him, like, no, you know what? Like I don't feel like my family's done, but I definitely do feel like this is what it's gonna be like for a good while. Like I was thinking like, you know, maybe in the next year or so, and I'm like, no, like I'm probably gonna wait. Like, and if it happens, it's gonna happen. But I'm like, I can't, like he says, my husband says, like, I can't picture myself like spreading my heart so much or like dividing up my heart so much. I'm like, because they all deserve like a whole. And luckily we put our relationship above the girls, you know, and I know it's a lot of people don't agree with that or whatever, but like, if we're okay, the girls are okay. And then he was like, y tú eres la más celosa. He was like, so I was like, I'm screwed. I'm like, that's for sure. I was like, 'cause you're mine. Like, I chose you to be with me. Like, they're gonna leave us one day, so you gotta make me happier. So he's definitely like, no. He's like, con tres viejas. He's like, imagine we have another girl. I was like, oh, we're for sure gonna have another girl if we do. So we just like kind of just like, no, like we're just gonna leave it like that for a while. And then like I finally realized it. I'm like, nah, we'll be fine. He's like, yeah, 'cause all you do is push them out and like yell at them. He's like, I'm the one that's like, I'm dad. Like they're daddy's girl. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. So I'm
No,
just like, no.
and I agree with you. I think mom and dad are okay, like the kids are going to be okay, right? Because it's like if we're not okay, if we're fighting, if we're arguing, or if we, you know, end up splitting up, like they're the ones that are going to suffer the consequences of those actions. So I agree and I applaud you for putting your relationship first.
Yeah, it's something that takes a while, you know, for people to get used to or to even have that like common agreement in a relationship, because they're like, no, like, you know, like my mom and then the girls and we're like, no, like we chose to put our lives together. We know the reality of life. The kids are gonna grow up, they're gonna go get their own lives, and then we're gonna be stuck, me and you again. And if we didn't work on ourselves all these years, by the time it's just me and you, we're just gonna be bickering and whatnot. And I always try to be like, we have to like make time for ourselves. We have to go eat by ourselves sometimes. And as much as we want the girls to join us and be part of that, like, we have to remember that this starts between me and you. And obviously, if something ever happens, and the best thing is to do is to, separate versus trying to be a family and not have it work out. And it's still gonna make the kids happier. Like, they're still gonna live with that thing, like, yeah, my parents split up, and that still kind of brings some other, like, trauma or anything to them. So working on each other and knowing that we really want to be together and like focusing on us first before the girl, sometimes you have to. Obviously, there's situations where just like, okay, you go your way, I'll go my way, the girls need us. Like, but at the end of the day, remembering, like, it's you two first, you and your partner first, and then the rest follow.
Yeah. And speaking of spreading yourself thin, I mean, Yvette has three kids, so I don't know how she
Oh
does
yeah, I know. And
it.
I was excited for three, because I was like, I know once I have three, I'm gonna want to have four, because three is just a weird number. Like, I always tell my mom, I was like, why didn't you have another one? Like, it's so weird. Like, I only have like two siblings. Like, why couldn't you just like even out the score? I don't know. But I'm just like, no. I was like, I was already an accident to begin with, so I wasn't even supposed to be here, much less a fourth. So I'm like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I applaud it and I want a big family. I really do, but I'm like, I don't know how. It's
Yeah,
hard.
it's hard. I want one more, but after anxiety, I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I can. It's hard. Like, I don't want to be on meds, and then I'm scared of like any after effects, and the side effects that I did get with all the meds I did take like scare the hell out of me, and I like lost sensation in my hands and my feet for a period of time, and I was freaking out. So it's
No,
like,
especially
it's hard.
buying meds at the beginning, it's just like you don't think that they can do this, like they can make you feel those kind of things. Like, it's hard. But I was like, I would love a big family, but I'm like, maybe less is more sometimes,
Yeah.
we don't do, but like I said, like, I feel like obviously, like, I don't think three is a lot. I mean, I think four, like, I was like, I think it's like, it's perfect to have it, but kudos to you guys that, I was like, if we're barely making it alive with two, like, you guys are keeping three humans alive, okay? Good job.
Thank you, thank you.
I barely breathe with two. I'm good. I'm good. I'm done. I know I'm done.
No, I always say that sometimes I do have three, because then I count my husband. So I'm like, it depends. It depends. So, oh, because men are men. Whatever. At the end of the day, they still need that little
Yeah.
support.
We're going to wrap it up because I know that you probably have so many things to do, but we just want to reiterate how this has been so much fun getting to know you on a deeper level. There are two questions that we like to end all of our interviews with. And the first one is, what is the worst advice that you've ever received, and what is the best advice that you've ever received?
I think the best advice, I'm gonna start off with that, because I think the best advice I've gotten is my mom. I was going through a really bad breakup, and she was like, if your parents are okay, and your immediate family and or whoever it you hold close dear in your heart is okay, the rest is doesn't matter. So, she told me, she was like, worry about the little circle, not the big circle. Like, focus on the little. Sometimes it's good to focus on the big picture, but focus on the little. And it was just the fact that, like, I was just closing myself off. And, she's like, if we're okay, why are you worried about what this one person that you just met is making you feel, or how they're treating you? Like, he's like, I don't need you to worry about me. She's like, but it's a motivation. She's like, if we're gonna be the ones that are gonna stand with you, whether it's your sister, your best friend, there's some best friends that come turn into your family and everything. Like, focus on the little circle you have, and make sure you're happy with that little circle and they're happy. And then from there, everything else is just gonna fall the way it needs to, and don't stress about it. And it's just something that I'm just like, I carry my relationships very near and dear to my heart. Friendship breakups and all that, like, they've hurt because I've held them really close to my heart. But I realize that everybody has to go their own way, and everybody has to find their own life, and people come and go, and hold those little circles, because they're kind of your backbones. You need a backbone, like, in every direction and from every area and from a lot of people. So just focus on my little circle. I don't know what the worst advice I've gotten. That's, I was like, I don't think I've ever been asked. I don't even think about it. Like, people just tell me things, and I'm just like, okay, in one ear and out the other. I don't know. Like, I know, like, there's such cliche answers, and I'll even give them, like, oh, over time everything will get better and all that. But I mean, I feel like sometimes there's probably bad advice, but you have to realize how to, like, turn it into good kind of advice. So I think I've always ignored the bad advice, because I'm sure there is something horrible that people have told me, but I just cannot think about it. I'm like, I just that just comes to show how much I really did not like, I did not care for it, but it's very interesting though. I've never got asked that. I'm gonna like think about this. I'm gonna have to come up with this because I don't know what's the
Think
worst
about it,
thing.
and you can always send it to us in a message or,
Yeah, no. Like maybe people think like care what other people are like. Okay, oh, decir la gente. I'm like that's probably like, the worst thing I've ever heard. It's not advice, but or don't do something in order to make other people comfortable. Like no, what? No, make yourself comfortable first, and then people will be comfortable around you if they like you. If they don't, they can walk away. But I have to think about this one. I mean, you guys got me good.
All
No.
right. Well. Thank you so much. I appreciate you
No,
coming
thank you
on.
guys. I appreciate it. And lo que ocupen, I'm right here. Whatever you guys want to chit chat. I was like, I had a good time and I appreciate everything. And, you know, I appreciate that you guys are doing this stuff. I was like, it makes me want to like even keep going and trying to make my podcast again. So
Yes, do it. Do it. We're
I
here for
appreciate
you.
you guys for, you know, awareness to this. It's
Of course.
just a lot. I'm like, I'm so not creative. I'm not it.
It takes a lot. It takes a lot. But I mean, I tell Myra this all the time. This is like my mental health gap. Like, I don't always get to talk to my therapist, but I'm like, this helps me so much because it's like I'm not alone and there's this whole community and everybody needs healing. Like, a lot of us in our community are like, no, estamos bien, estamos bien. But it's like, are you really?
Like, no, you're really not. No,
Yeah.
and that's what I've always like, you know, like when I did have mine for the short, like it was just like talking about like, you know, cliches. I always live like why they are. Like, let's talk about the things that people don't want to talk about. Like, and I'm just like such an open book. Like, I'm just like, no, like I want to try to reach to other people and hopefully heal one little brain at a time.
Yes.
I'm like, you know, we
Yes.
can't fully be healed. At least accept, you know, who you are, you know, and wait, you know. It sucks. We want to. I always like sometimes when I'm like really sad or whatever, like I just like want to cry and I'm like, why did this illness choose me? Like, why couldn't it be something else or whatever, you know, when you're in the mix of the moment. But I'm like, once I'm out of it, I'm like, if I can just help one person at least and not feel like, you know, how I feel that I just, sometimes I just feel like I'm like nothing, like with this disease, like this issue, like I can't do nothing. But I'm like helping somebody talk about it, and we're just like, oh, thank you. Like, I thought I was alone. And I'm like, no, you're not. That's the point. You're not. So
Yes,
I'm glad
yes.
you know, you guys talk with great people as well and have great topics. So I love it. Definitely still something that I look forward to listening to all the time.
Thank you so much.
I'll probably skip this one, but you know.
Don't skip this one. You need to listen to this one. But thank you so much. You are amazing, and we're just so happy that you're here and that you took time out of your busy day to come talk to us. And I know that a lot of people are going to benefit from this, like you said, and a lot of the things, and we'll be able to relate to a lot of the things that you talked about for sure.
Yeah, I definitely hope, you know, like I said, if I'm just helping one person and then that makes me feel good, or just having one person like, you know what, that's right. Let me just not care what people say. Like, let me not, like, let me wear the outfit. Let me just do this one thing that I want to do. I don't care what other people say. Like, that just makes me feel good for other people. Like, it makes me happy when people have that mindset. So hopefully just one person at least. If not, I really, like you said, like, it was like a little therapy. We had talks, we know. So I'd enjoy it, and I really, really appreciate you guys for thinking of me, and thank you.
Of course, we're glad to have you on, and we really appreciate all the information you shared with us and being so transparent and vulnerable. And if you could share with us where people can find you, where people can find more information about you and see all your amazing fits.
Yeah, I am on Instagram, underscore Nona with three A's and three underscores, very complicated name. That's kind of my go-to platform. Like that's my safe space. I do have TikTok and I kind of post there, but I just can't. I don't know if I'm just kind of more of the older generation or something, but I just can't do TikTok. I try, and I just can't. But you can definitely still follow me on TikTok too. But Instagram is my way to go. I try to always have, you know, lives and just talk about things like this, or just get ready, or just hang out and just kind of keep other minds busy, you know. So definitely Instagram and TikTok.
So if you have any other questions for her, you can go ahead and reach her there. Otherwise, thank you for tuning in, and we can't wait to see you guys next week. Thank you
Thank
guys for
you.
tuning
Have a good one. Bye.
you. Bye.